Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Connect with the Matt and Ramona Showcast via Facebook and Twitter. Find out more at 1079thelink.com.
You're listening to Off Air with Matt and Ramona.
Hey, freaks. Love it. Thank you for downloading and subscribing to the podcast. At least I'm hoping you have subscribed. I want you to comment and rate us, if you would, please. Definitely want you to share it. And you must be, because the numbers continue to go up. And we enjoy that. It makes us keep our job a little longer. In this episode, we're
going
to be talking to, it makes us feel good. We're going to be talking to Bob and Sherry a little bit later on. I think it's about us taking showers together. No, not us, not like Bob and Sherry and us. I mean, like when we took showers, never mind. You'll find out in a little bit what that's all about. Also, the guy from Banners, he, even though Banners, I think it's one person, right? I mean, anybody, I don't know why he doesn't use this. I would always want my name out so people would know I'm cool and great.
Well, I think it's clever marketing. You think it's a total band and you find out it's one guy. Cool.
Yeah. But anyway, he's a cool dude. So you'll hear that interview in a little bit. Also, we'll talk about the TV shows and movies we've been watching lately and what you should watch, because we know all. But we begin. Bandy has a safe space in his house.
Yes, I do.
Safe space.
I have multiples that I can run
to. You do?
Yeah. Oh, really? We only know about your easy chair. Where are your safe spaces?
Well, let's just say the basement locks from the outside or the inside.
I was about to say, if it locks from the outside, they're locking you in.
I can lock them out if I want, but we're talking about my safe chair in the living room, which is where I refuse to argue and or have a disagreement with anyone, especially my wife. So if she comes at me.
So the minute she's comes at you, bro, you hop out of your chair and you go somewhere else, because it's not going to be a negative space for you.
No, it's not. It's the place where I watch my favorite shows and movies and spend time that's positive. And I will not have it. Negative.
Have you announced it? Have you told her that? I mean, did she?
Well, she asked.
Did she say, get out of your chair now?
No. She asked why I always jump up whenever, like almost like in a what? And I said, well, I just don't like to be arguing in my chair. I like to sit at the bar or sit at the kitchen table. Or
is it because you're sitting up higher? Is that it?
No. It's just because sometimes I like.
Can you pay better attention that way?
Yeah, and I'm not associating negative emotions and thoughts.
Okay,
chair.
I get it.
How about we watch the Chiefs? You watch the Chiefs in the basement.
That's why I said that's my complete safe space.
He can lock himself in there.
Yeah, I can barricade myself.
That's really healthy.
Yeah.
Does she have to make an announcement? You know, like, hey, it's time to argue. Let's come on to the kitchen.
Well, if she's got something she needs to talk to me, usually Alexa delivers the news and I go upstairs. But
what?
For the most, yeah.
What do you Alexa, mean? What?
Well, like she'll drop in on Alexa and say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. Can you come up here? And so I'll go upstairs, but I won't sit in my good chair. I will sit at the table, or I will pace around the living room or kitchen or wherever.
Do you have a weighted blanket?
Here's the thing, Andy. I totally understand, because when we were training our dog, the woman who was helping us with dog training said his crate should never be punishment. It should be his safe space.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So
if you're agitated, you know where to go for soothing.
That's right.
You have your safe space.
I can't believe that she lets you pace. I'm not allowed to move when I'm getting the whatnot or the discussion.
Ow.
No, I've got to maintain eye contact and
she needs to know that you're paying attention.
Is she holding a gun at you, telling you to freeze?
Well, she basically.
He's like a raccoon at night.
Yes. She'll be off an unhinged device. Like I've done it before where I, you know, will jump up on the kitchen island and grab a Swiffer or something to get the high light or something like that. Okay. Or, you know, I like to sweep the kitchen when I like to do
what?
Things.
Why are you in
Wait.
The kitchen island?
You. Okay, so
let
me get this visual straight. Amy is coming at you because of something that you have probably done. Okay.
But sometimes it's just a serious conversation. It's not always about me. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There needs to be a talk about the relationship
or something,
or the family, something. And while she's trying to talk to you, you grab a Swiffer, climb up on the kitchen island and go for it while she's trying to talk to you. So she's trying to talk to a man who is standing on the island in the kitchen. Am I right here?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
I don't do that anymore. I don't do it anymore. I did it once, and that was the end of that really quickly.
Well, good.
No more cleaning during arguments.
What do you mean you can't hardly help it? Like, Amy wants to talk. Must get my baseboard buddy.
He's my buddy. He's my safe buddy. He's my buddy. Remember when the boss called me? When the boss called, remember, and said,
I hate to tell you, he's not your friend.
I was dragging something.
He's not your
friend. I was dragging something. My baseball buddy's my friend. The boss told you I was dragging something. What I was doing,
he's like, Ramona, can I talk to you for a minute? I tried to talk to your partner, but I heard this weird scraping sound. And I said, you know, I think your phone is breaking up. And he told me he was scraping a stick on the sidewalk or something. I don't know what he was doing.
I was like, what I was doing actually was I found this like metal pole outside, or like metal stick of some sort. And I was cleaning out in between the pavement, like, you mean like the sidewalk or whatever, my patio, whatever you want, in between each spot where there's like grass sometimes and dirt and stuff. You know what I mean? Like in between the little tiles,
the cracks.
While and stuff.
Boss was trying to talk to you about our career. Okay. While our boss was trying to talk to you about our career, he's like, and so I asked Matt, I was like, what's the interference there? And he's like, Matt's dragging a stick across the ground or something. I couldn't talk to the guy.
It does sound threatening almost.
Yeah. I was making more noise than I thought. So I do that. What are you going to do?
I thought you said you didn't do that anymore. You just said you didn't do it anymore.
I try not to. I try not to. And I don't get on the island anymore. I don't do the island thing anymore. Okay. That was one. I knew that.
But
and I don't even do
open,
it.
It's still fair game for you to scrape a metal stick across the ground. Got it.
Yeah. I'm on the phone. I mean, what do you care what I'm doing?
Well, if it's noisy and interfering with the conversation,
how do they know you're doing it?
I didn't know it was noisy. Sometimes you don't know. That time of week where we have the pleasure of talking to the morning sensations, Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and the Sherry. Big week for a lot of families in the Charlotte area. CMS returned to in-person learning this week.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And you have a little one who went back, right?
Yeah, first time in a classroom in almost a year.
What grade is she in now?
Let me tell you what, girlfriend was real used to doing school in her jammies under a blanket. Getting up at 5 a.m. did not sit well with her.
You know what? I didn't think about that. The freedom of at home. I've just thought about the lack of social interaction that would, kill me. But the freedom.
I think it really depends on the kid and also on the age. If my girls had been little, I don't know how families with little kids have navigated the homeschool thing. Yeah. Like, you know, she's a pretty independent student, and girl, the freedom, that was everything to her. She was running her life like some sort of, you know, a Batman villain in her little lair. She was not happy about going back.
I would not have cared one bit about interaction, especially in middle school. I would have loved to have been able to stay at home. I hated everyone in school.
Okay.
It would have been great.
I feel like I want to give you a hug right now.
No,
I was a really good therapist. Right.
I had two or three friends, and we'd go to downtown New Haven on the bus and have a hamburger on Saturdays. That was all the social connection that I needed.
Yeah, I'm Bob, kind of with can, you, can, actually. I'm with
can
you
100%. Dr. Phyllis ask you a question, Bob?
Yes, by all means.
Have you done something about that hatred of other people? Have you worked on it, Bob?
I haven't embraced it fully. Let's just put it that way. I've worked on it a little bit.
What?
You know, being in radio, you meet so many people you love so much for the rest of your life.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I meet so many people that are so easy to hate.
Yes, that's true, too. Well, you know, it wasn't so much I hated the people in junior high. I just didn't have any feeling for them. I didn't care about them. I would have been perfectly fine like you, doing home, playing, you know, in the yard, playing stratomatic baseball.
Do you want to take this one? Do you want to take this one?
Well, you're like in middle school, you're so awkward and self-conscious and you're going through puberty and everything is just so overwhelming that it wouldn't have been the worst thing for me to be at home. But okay. What little I did learn, like in math, I wouldn't have gotten it all. I'm pretty sure of that.
Now, I'm wondering, are there, because we are an awkward lot, okay? We are not the norm.
That is true.
Were there kids in middle school who felt like they were totally in their element and owning it? I think were.
I think there were. Too.
Yes, in North
Haven. They just weren't friends with me, but I'm sure they existed?
They were called Italian. Half of the city was Italian, and the other half was, everybody else. And I had Italian friends, and they were great. But I weighed, like in ninth grade, about 110 pounds. I was like 5'6". And in the showers and gym, some of these Italian guys had full body hair and were 6 feet. So
if you weren't an Italian guy, you weren't cool.
You were not. And most of the teacher, half of the teachers, Mr. Sarasi, Mr. Sacramone, were Italian. So there was like a brotherhood there.
And you know what I applaud you for, Bob? I applaud you for not going with, Roberto or something to try to fit in. I applaud you for just being you.
Roberto Lacerelli.
Lacerelli. Well, Bob, what's weird is you saying about the showers, a lot of people don't even know there was a time when you took shower, ours was at least not an individual stall. It was just a big room.
Yeah.
Ours went in with shower heads. I don't think that exists anymore.
It just got weird.
It's true though. That's the way it was.
True stories of middle school showers.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a part of this episode.
I didn't want to be a part of it either. That's why I didn't want to see any of these people.
In Charlotte Mecklenburg schools, in high school, you only have to have one semester of gym in 4 years, right? But for a lot of us, a lot of people listening, we had gym mandatory 5 days a week for all 4 years of high school.
Yeah.
And showering was mandatory. Now, I'm going to describe a scenario. I want you to imagine this happening today without a lawsuit.
Okay.
My gym teacher, Coach Nolan, would come into the girls' locker room and you'd line up and she would check the back of your neck to see if you had had a shower. Because for some reason, she believed that the back of the neck was a fraud-proof zone.
It's fraud-proof.
If you had taken a shower, and we'd stand there while she put her hand on the back of all of our necks. Now, I want you to imagine your kid coming home from school with that story and you not getting on the phone.
I know. It's true.
Yeah. And there were stories about our gym teacher always said, if I catch you not showering, your hair's not wet, whatever, I'm throwing you in with your clothes on. I never saw it happen, but apparently it happened. Did you get those tales right yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's going to throw you in.
Without a doubt. The gym teachers, they had to teach gym, but then they had to teach history. I mean, they had to do a little bit of everything. I felt so sorry for them. Mr. Sacramone and Mr. Sarasi, they were great.
They're always tough guys, though, and tough girls.
Real tough guys.
Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of a joke because it's true, and you even see it in movies that the gym teacher or the football coach always taught history, and that's kind of the joke, ha ha ha. But here's the thing, folks. Just look at the headlines. Maybe we need history teachers teaching history. It's just the fun.
All right, you guys, thank you.
Take care.
Thank you all.
About the thing.
Bye.
See you. Talk to you soon. Bye. All right, for the podcast on Fridays, where we talk about things we're watching and other entertainment stuff. So we want to talk about Gaga here in a minute, but let's get to the shows that you may or may not be watching, and we're going to tell you what we've been into and what's coming out. Not a lot this weekend, new. Bandits, Tom and Jerry, right?
Yeah, Tom and Jerry movie is coming out in wide release in theaters. There are no reviews yet, but so I don't know if it's going to be terrible or not, but it's the traditional animation mixed with live action, and we don't know anything. If you're a Tom and Jerry fan,
I love Tom and Jerry. There is
Tom
absolutely nothing about the trailer that makes me want to see this movie.
It looks like a little Roger Rabbity. Like a little Roger Rabbit kind of idea.
Yeah, it looks like it would come out in the 90s. I mean, Tom is on a skateboard and he's in New York, and the movie poster says best of enemies, worst of friends.
It's gotta be terrible.
So Chloe Grace Moretz stars in it.
My wife is watching, and I got to catch up. She loves it. Is it Behind Her Eyes, which is in the top 10 on Netflix, was number one at one point.
What she is loves it? That. What's it about?
It's, it is a, I think they call it a comedic thriller or something like that. It's like a little, some little a comedy in it. Thriller. I know, what's the words I'm looking for? But I haven't watched it yet. She wants me to catch up. So she has delayed her, watching of it.
Synopsis says a single mother enters a world of twisted mind games when she begins an affair with her psychiatrist boss while secretly befriending his mysterious wife.
Wait a minute. I don't think that's the right one, is it?
Behind Her
that
Eyes?
That doesn't sound like a comedic thriller.
I think you are looking at the British one. That are you sure?
Sure. This is in the top 10, number two.
Psychological thriller. There you go. Single mother. Oh, yeah, it is that.
Yeah, nothing about
I must
about
have been looking
comedy.
At the wrong one.
Nothing says comedy.
No comedy there.
Befriending a mysterious wife doesn't make you laugh.
But then Matt Harris is fond of the erotic thriller. So yeah. he has to put something in with thriller. Yeah,
I do. I haven't watched it, but she loves it.
Comedic thriller.
I thought it was, I must have been looking at the wrong thing. Tell her, God dang, why did I forget about it?
The British version. You must be looking at the British version, which is not a comedy / thriller.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Lord.
Tell Me Your Secrets. I am watching that, and I know about that. That's on Amazon Prime, and so far, so good. About four episodes in, it's very, very good.
There is one new film out on Netflix that is kind of odd. It's called I Care a Lot, and it's got Rosamund Pike, who was in Gone Girl. Her and Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones is in it.
Oh, that's the one she's watching.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, the synopsis
Amy,
is a court.
Watch by yourself. You'll enjoy it more.
A court appointed legal guardian defrauds her older clients and traps them under her care. But her latest mark comes with some unexpected baggage.
Another comedy in that, right?
Comedic thriller. Comedy. Or is it an erotic thriller? There's something thriller about it.
It is number one on Netflix right now. So
that's the one I was trying to think of.
Okay.
And the next Behind one you talk eyes. About, that one's going to be it. Nope. Yep, it is it. That
Are
one.
Are we talking about the British version or the American version, though?
And iCarly is back. It's been missing forever. Now Avery, who's 10, is watching it. I'm watching it with her a little bit. Because Addison watched it when she was 15. Now, there are some things that seem a little weird now when you watch them. And I don't like there's the characters are only young, but they're getting their first kiss and they're like nine or something. And and I don't remember thinking it was weird then, but now I think it's weird. I don't know why.
Is it and a then there's like, thriller?
It's a comedy thriller. iCarly's a comedy thriller. Okay. There's a bunch of, models walking around and they're tidy whitey swimsuits. And I was like, that's a little weird too. Why didn't I notice this stuff the first time? I was tired.
Tidy whitey.
Okay. So anyway,
I'm not sure what you're watching.
I
think you're confused again. I really probably. In fact, I hope you're confused again. 9-year-olds kissing and models walking around in their tidy whitey.
Yeah, I remember walking around with iCarly.
What are you watching with your daughter?
It's a fever dream. Whatever. I'm losing my mind. But you wanted to talk about Lady Gaga and her dogs too, by the way, while you're here.
Yes, I saw a headline that I would really like to correct. Lady Gaga is offering $500,000 for the return of her dogs. Lady Gaga's dog walker was shot and her two bulldogs were stolen. So the headline says Lady Gaga offering $500,000 for the return of her dogs. But I'm like, shouldn't the headline read Lady Gaga offers $500,000 to find out who the hell shot her dog walker and took her dogs
times too? Yeah. I mean, probably.
Can we give the dog walker some props here?
But the reality is, people are more likely probably to respond to getting the dogs back rather than ratting out what they consider, you know, being a snitch and saying these are the killers. They can just come up with the dogs. Plus,
still,
she's encouraging somebody to go steal the dogs from the robbers.
There's a human element here that we really need
to
acknowledge.
I agree.
That is the fact that this man who was walking dogs was shot and those dogs were stolen.
Those dogs could be worth up to $10,000, I read, depending on.
They're not cheap.
That's it. They're not cheap. All right. Podcast continues when we talk to Banners. I want to be somebody to someone, someone to you. Someone to you. Someone to you. We've talked to artists, so many artists over the last 6 to 8 months about the effect of TikTok. Is it something that you planned, thought would happen?
Was this an intentional move?
What was the deal?
You mean did I invent a social media platform?
Yeah.
Did you invent TikTok?
Did you take aim at TikTok and say I am going to blow my music up here?
No, I would have no idea how to even do that, and I'm so terrible at TikTok. In fact, literally a month before my song started getting popular on there, my friend was explaining TikTok to me on the phone. I was like, what?
yeah, right. Then, doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah. And I was sort of thinking, oh, this is just another one that my record label is going to make me do now.
It's extra work.
Because I'm just hanging in there with that stuff, really. But it's an amazing thing. And you know what? It's lovely to see. Obviously, you release these songs and then people listen to them and you can see the figures and stuff. But this version of it, you can see how people interpret it, you know, and
yes,
how they their own, which is a really, really beautiful thing.
What's the most surprising interpretation you've seen? Like, you're like, whoa, where did that come from? That's not what I intended when I wrote it.
To be honest, I'm just surprised that people have so many different interpretations of it. And I think it's like, it's an amazing thing how creative people are. I think it's great that there's this outlet specifically for kids that they can be creative and they can show that, you know what I mean? They have 30 seconds or a minute to just invent this thing. That's like, wow, you thought that up. You thought that up and you are 10 years old.
Yeah, right.
what is your interpretation? I mean, what do you want people to get out of it?
Of the song?
Well, somebody.
I was trying to really figure out what it was that resonates with people. And I think that it sounds like quite a happy song, and it is to an extent, but I think there's like a sadness to it. There's a bit of a desperation and a bit of a, you know, cause I think it's, oh God, it's such a drag, isn't it? When an artist describes it, what a song's about.
No, it's always interesting because, you know, I believe the reason why your song blew up wasn't necessarily because there were so many other creative people out there. I believe that somehow you connected to the creativity in those people. Right. Like, you have songs that connect through this amazing emotion. And it's just like, whoa, like, and sometimes the emotion comes out of nowhere. Like, wait a minute.
Sure.
Is that your intention when you're writing?
Well, it's lovely of you to say. Yeah. I mean, I think when I write these songs, I always just think of the songs that really mattered to me when I was growing up, and how those songs become a soundtrack to your life, don't they?
They capture the spirit of a moment in time. Yeah.
And I think like that's really all that you want to provide for somebody else. And the idea that maybe to some kids, they are having their first breakup to one of my songs, or their first relationship, or, you know, or it really helps when they're having a sad time, or it makes it even a good time even better, is what music was always to me growing up, you know, and the idea that you can provide that is a real privilege. And I think
give me an example of a moment in time, song that if you hear that song, you go to where does Michael Nelson of Banners go when he hears a certain song?
Well, I think the first vacation that I went on, I think when I was like 16 with my friends, the first Strokes album had just come out. So I listened to that absolutely loads. So that first album to me, Last Night and all those songs just are this brand new sense of freedom. We got the train down to Cornwall, which is on the south coast of England, and just went and just did a terrible job of surfing for 3 days. But it was a lovely thing. And you know, because the Strokes have that vibe anyway, don't they? There's a real raw, slightly punky energy to them.
Yeah, definitely punky. Yeah.
Like, oh, this is our anthem, you know. And I hope
you felt like you were getting a little wild and independent. And
exactly. Yeah. And I think because The Strokes, it was very exciting when that first came out, wasn't it? Is This It? And it was like the first time that I remember feeling like, oh, this is like my generation's thing.
Yeah. So if you're striving for being the anthem man of a generation, sir, you are well on your way. I think you've actually already arrived.
I don't think I'm providing much of a punk spirit. I think my general vibe is let's all be really nice to each other and everything will be fine.
Yes. And that's exactly the energy we need right now.
Sure. We need that now. We need it. You know, here's my question to you too. Are you now the Banners? Banners is the name of the group, whatever. And you're Mike Nelson. Have you ever had to say to somebody, "I swear I'm Banners. That's me, man." And they're like, "Yeah, right, dude. Come on."
Well, what I get quite a lot is, because most of my touring has been in North America, really. And you know, the US and Canada have just been so generous to me. And the thing that I get quite a lot is when we'll be driving through wherever and someone will say, you know, you'll get out of a van and you've all got your leather jackets on.
Right.
And you're quite obviously, you know, you pull up to a Burger King or Baskin Robbins or something like that. And they're saying, "Oh, what's the name of your band?" And I say, "Oh, it's Banners." But because I've got such an English accent, no one has any idea what I'm saying. And what it turned out was the quicker way of doing it was to quickly put on a slightly American accent to then say it. And that would mean I didn't have to spell it out.
Okay, so let's hear your American accent. Yeah, I have to hear your American accent.
It was my friend Danny, who's the keyboard player in my band, that is the best at doing it. But it's basically, so someone will go, "Oh, what's the name of your band?" And I'll say, "Oh, it's called Banners."
That's pretty good.
And then they go,
"That's pretty good." I love that. You sound totally American to me.
Yeah. And then I say, "Oh, it's Banners." And they say, "Oh, I've never heard of you." And I say, "Okay, can I have, I'll have an ice cream and a coffee, please."
So it's the key is to get that R, I guess, right? The Banners doesn't, the R is what you need.
Yeah, right. Totally. And it just makes me sound like I'm in the royal family or something, you know, like I'm a prince. So we have to say it in an American accent, seems to help.
So what's next for Banners?
Banners. We I have a new song coming out. It keeps moving slightly because, you know, the world's a bit mad. But in, I think, 2 or 3 weeks' time, I have a new song coming out, and then just a bunch of new music, and hopefully an album by the end of the year. But we'll see how.
Have you been talking collaboration with anybody lately? No. Has that come up?
Not in terms of a duet or whatever, but all of the songs I've been writing over Zoom from my apartment. Oh. And so there's been a lot of different writers that I've been working with. It's been great, you know. Obviously, that's not to say that I'm glad that the world has gone crazy, but I think, you know, it's amazing that we have this opportunity to talk now, isn't it, over Zoom?
Right.
And that's a real blessing.
And with songwriting, I think it probably helps because you normally might be locked in a studio or wherever you go to write with just the two people, right? Or whatever, three, whatever it might be. Now you can call up, "Oh, wait a minute. I remember so-and-so had this vibe that I want," or whatever, right?
And they're on a completely different continent.
World. Yeah.
That's exactly it, Ramona. Yeah, you can, and you don't have to fly over to LA or Nashville, or they don't have to fly over here. You can just say, you just send an email and say, "Do you want to jump on this thing?" And then you can, you know, it obviously it's its own art form, writing over Zoom.
Sure.
It takes a second to figure out the logistics, and, you know, quite often it just won't really work out. But like I say, it's a blessing that it's even possible, because, man, this could have been a lot harder, I think, couldn't it? On all of us, if you think.
Right. You were able to find a way to still use that creative brain of yours. You found an outlet and connected with other people who needed to share as well. And that is at the core what I believe the lesson is we're learning right now.
Yeah. You know, you guys have done the exact same thing, haven't you? You carried on doing it. You figured out how this was going to work. You know, you made the backgrounds of your Zooms look attractive, and then just.
Okay, well, where are you right now? Where are you right now?
I'm in. I am. This is the most rock and roll thing you will hear all day. I'm in my parents' house in Liverpool, and it's raining outside that window. And I have Liverpool Football Club shorts on.
are you looking at an attic or something? I mean, where are you upstairs?
To be perfectly honest, yes, I am, Matt.
In the attic.
Wow.
In 20 minutes, I'll go and have dinner with my mom and stepdad, and it will be completely lovely.
Wow, what a rock star life you're living, man.
Whoa.
We appreciate it.
Go Banners.
Check out Banners, depending on how you want to do it. And thanks again so much, Mike.
Had a blast talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. All right, peoples. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Make sure you share the podcast. We would very much appreciate it. Check out the Matt and Ramona Facebook page. And we will chat again soon with another Matt and Ramona podcast headed your way on Monday.